Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, welcome, baby boomers of all ages. Well, you know, you're within an age range. Welcome to the podcast just for you, Another Day Above Ground, the podcast which is in these current times never had a more fitting title. Because that's what we're celebrating with COVID-19. We don't know if we're going to be above tomorrow, but we all hope that we are. And we've got an exciting show for you today, but first let me introduce you to my two co-partners who the three of us put this whole thing together. First of all, from the great state of Indiana, the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
I was telling my wife the other day that after about a month, you don't need a shower anymore, that it doesn't smell. And now she wants me tested for COVID-19.
And the lilting laughter you hear from the Rocky Mountains, that's Carolyn Strauss coming to us from Denver, Colorado.
And I was concerned that I had COVID-19 because I tried to cook. It did not turn out well. I am still clear that the kitchen is not my room. No, seriously. So I had these bananas that were overripe, and I went online and I looked for a recipe, and I'm kind of sick of banana bread. So I looked for banana cookies, and there were banana cookies that had, it sounded good, bananas and rolled oats and vanilla. So I went to the grocery store and I bought rolled oats and vanilla because, you know, that's what you need when you're going to make a three-ingredient food. And I mushed them together and I put them in the oven and I tasted them and I think I've created dog biscuits. My dog loved them.
Right. That's how Famous Amos started, I think. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I was talking to the neighbor lady over the fence and just having a chat. We were 6 feet away. Her husband comes out and says, "Hey, come on, back up. Apparently thou shalt not COVID thy neighbor's wife." And there we go. We have laughter to start out because we have a very, very special guest with us today. You may have known if you're a regular listener, and if you are a regular listener, God bless you. You know that we interviewed President Barack Obama back on President's Day and recently reran that episode. And one of the previous presidents happened to hear that interview and said, "Can I get on your show?" So who am I to say no to another past president? And that would be, you guess.
Good afternoon. I really enjoyed being here with you, Dale, and Tim, and Carolyn. Let me just tell you one thing from my background. I mean, everybody's asking me, they're saying, "Hey, Bill, you know, you've been a president for two terms, and you're looking at what's going on right now. Are we doing anything right or wrong?" And I say, well, let me just tell you this. When I was in office, when they talked about a stimulus package, it sure as hell wasn't a couple of $1 billion for small businesses. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on now. Give me some stimulus. Bring your interns in here, baby.
President Clinton, it is a joy to have you with us here in this, what the kids are calling a pandemic. And, you know, we're all in lockdown. Nobody can leave their homes. And I got to ask you, you know, what's it like to spend 24 hours a day with Hillary?
You know, they say that people in our age range are not supposed to be going out in public because it could kill us. And I looked over there one day at Hillary, and it was first thing in the morning, and good God, that's enough to make you lose weight. And I said to myself, I said, "Hey, self," I said, "do you want to take your chances of being with Hillary, or would you go?" Next thing you know, I'm licking the door handles at Walmart, Dale. I mean, I'm telling you what it's like. I'm thinking to myself, come on, God, come and take me away because I can't do this thing anymore. So I'm going to the gas station and talking to strangers. I'm shaking hands. I'm licking doorknobs. I'm doing everything I can to try and get the COVID-19 because you know what? Take me now, otherwise it's going to be really ugly around here. I mean, no reference to Hillary, but I mean, it ain't pretty. I mean, well, you know what I'm saying.
I can certainly surmise what you're saying, and I probably couldn't agree more. Carolyn, what would you like to ask the president?
Right now, absolutely nothing. How dare he? Think about it. All the countries that have female leadership right now are doing so much better than us. Just send her to Washington, Bill, and let her do the job she was destined to do. Your job.
She's a liberal, too. She's a liberal, and these are her words coming out that you weren't any good.
I'll tell you what, I mean, and I don't mean to get political here, because let's face it, it's not like I can run for office anymore. I mean, I'm retired. I get a nice pension that you all turkeys pay for, which is really good for me. But, the one thing is, you know, everybody always used to say, Hillary basically runs the ship, and, you know, everybody always thought that she was in charge of me, and so she rubs that in now because she's kind of an angry woman, and every day one thing I do, and I just say, hey, Hillary, guess what? One of us has been a two-term president, and one of us is you. Ninner, ninner. But I will also tell you, Carolyn, because I know that you are very upset about the political aspect of this. I have been very critical of the Trump administration. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, I thought it was one thing when the kids were doing Tide Pods. Who in the hell thinks y'all be shooting up with Clorox? I mean, is this guy just the stupidest thing you've ever seen in your life? Hey, kids, why do the Tide Pods? Go ahead and bring the hypodermic over here and let's get out some bleach. Oh, Lordy, man. It almost makes you wonder if his skin condition is based on his health recommendations. You know, maybe if you do shoot up with Clorox, it turns you orange. I don't know these things.
I got a question, Mr. President. Have you seen The Tiger King?
I have not seen that. I'm sorry, sir.
Okay, because I think you might notice a resemblance in Carol Baskin.
I don't know. Since I'm on the Baby Boomers themed podcast, you know, you guys are so grateful to bring me in here to be on Another Day Above Ground as the first Baby Boomer president in this United States of America. I want to tell you one thing that's kind of struck me is how times have changed. You know, back when we were kids, we just kind of, you know, burned our bras, smoked some pot, and dodged the draft. I mean, it's all good stuff. And nowadays, these kids, I mean, and then everybody's like concerned about this pandemic. Let me just tell you how good things were when I was president. Instead of bringing the Surgeon General in and telling you how to not get a pandemic, how to not die of coronavirus, my Surgeon General said, let's go to the schools and teach kids how to masturbate. I mean, remember when things were good? Back in the 90s, things were good, kids. And I mean, we screwed that all up.
I do have one thing to say to you, Mr. President. I would have had the dress cleaned and I wouldn't have told anybody about it.
I gotta say something. We can do PG-13 stuff here. I heard one the other day when I was out trying to expose myself to the coronavirus. I went to the cleaners, and the cleaner says to me something funny. He says, hey, did you hear the one about Monica Lewinsky? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, Monica Lewinsky takes her dress to the hard of hearing dry cleaner, and she says, I'd like you to clean my dress. He says, come again. She says, no, this time it's mustard.
Well, ladies and gentlemen in the listening audience, right about now you got to be saying, well, hell, he's funnier than what he was in office. Well, that's because we don't have the real Bill Clinton on. He turned us down, and so did the top three Bill Clinton impersonators. But we have Damian Mason, who has done a simply wonderful job. He's been, I worked with him back when he was impersonating Bill, when Bill was in office. And that's a long time ago, and he's a fantastic thing. But even more than that, he's a business speaker today who's going to talk to us about, as baby boomers, what we should be concerned about. What comes next? We're in the middle of a real, you know, poop storm, and what comes next? What are we supposed to do? How do we evolve?
Well, first off, thank you, Dale, Tim, and Carolyn for having me on Another Day Above Ground. And yeah, that's my background. And when you asked me to come on here, I'm technically not a baby boomer. I'm 50 years old. I was born in 1969, so I'm about 5 years removed from your the parameters of your generation, which is supposed to go from 1946 to 1964. But I was raised around baby boomers. I've got 8 older siblings. I'm the youngest of 9 kids, and every one of them qualifies as a baby boomer. Also, like you, I went around and spoke at corporate events for so long, starting as a young age. So I was around a lot of folks that were 20 years my senior. And it was interesting because when you're the comedian act who dresses up like an old person, they think you are that the same generation as them. What we got going on right now is unprecedented. And when I look at this, I talk a lot about reinvention. And, you know, baby boomers are saying, holy hell, we get hit with this coronavirus thing. I was 5 years away from retiring. And, I just got whacked. Well, I talk a lot about reinvention. Imagine if you're 30 years old, 31 years old, and 9-11 happens. Coronavirus versus 9-11. Okay, political comedy was my business. Political comedy had been something I had done really well. I, you know, bought real estate, paid for my college loans, and, you know, was building my own little enterprise. And I always knew that the thing was going to run dry because Bill Clinton, presidents don't stay in office forever. But 9-11 came along, several thousand Americans get killed, and comedy's not funny anymore, Dale, as you well know. You were out here trying to make a living after 9-11. Also, not only is comedy not funny, corporate events don't happen because people are afraid to get on airplanes, and then sure as hell, political comedy's not funny. So I went through a couple of years there twisting in the wind, and you folks being comedic understand it's a rough business anyhow, but then when your flavor goes away and your, shall we say, your calling card being the political comedy that was impersonating a president also goes away. It was like the triple threat storm that came in there. So I had to reinvent. And the thing is, baby boomers right now are in a real good situation to reinvent in that they have the wisdom. They probably have some money backed up. They probably have really good connections. The only thing they have going against them is a real rough economic situation right now. And they probably have the fact that there's going to be some age discrimination. So we always can overcome certain things, but I'd say that your guys and gals that are listening to this podcast, the great news is the gig economy is more wide open than it's ever been. And there's a more acceptance that it's fine to be 65 years old and starting a small business or a new offering. So that's the benefit to them.
You said that, you know, being a political humorist and impersonated a president, that your business pretty much dropped off after 9-11. So you can know exactly how Von Meter felt in 1963.
So, and by the way, there's four people on this podcast that even know what you're referencing. I do have a copy of the
baby boomers. They were
I do have a copy of the 33 RPM LP of the First Family. It was given to me by a person. This is a great little piece of motivation that I'm sure everybody on this podcast can appreciate. It's not like being scorned. It's not like being screwed over. But everybody that's old enough to be listening or on this podcast has had a moment in their career or their life where somebody almost like knew that they were being disrespectful or being messing with you. When I quit my corporate job, I was only 25 years old to be a political comedian. One of the higher ups kept telling me what an idiot I was and how I would never make it. And then he presented me with a used copy of the First Family album with Von Meter and a little note saying that acts like yours have come and gone before, but nobody ever has lacked for lighting fixtures, because I work for a lighting company. How could I ever tear down getting out of the lighting business to go and try my hand at comedy? So, yes, I have that.
Your boss, I think, was my mom.
Yeah, right.
Wow. So what do we need to do? How do we need to think in order to reposition and get ready for the next, you know, stage?
The next stage is probably dependent on everybody's own position. Are the kids all gone? Probably by the time they're a baby boomer. Do they have money socked away? Is it time that they can actually do what they always said they wanted to do? The problem for most folks is they always claim, and you and I know this because we've been in comedy, and you know I talk about this in my book. Folks would come up to me and say, hey, if I was your age, I'd try and do that. I'd quit my corporate job and try comedy also. And I'm like, well, you were my age once and you didn't. So you're really kind of full of shit. You know, are you really? So right now, when you think of it, a person that's a baby boomer, okay, let's just say that they are now going to take an early retirement because these companies are going through some struggles and they're going to say, right. Hey, don't come back. They have no excuses anymore. So that's the one thing about the beauty of age. It gets to where you don't have any excuses. You know how Dale and Tim, everybody always says, well, you know what? That old person always just says it like it is. When I'm that person's age, I'm going to start saying it like it is. And I always say, well, why wait? Why wait? So there's no excuses anymore. If you're saying, I was going to try this thing, I was going to start this thing. Let's say they're really going to start some little small business. When you really look at it, if you come out of this situation that we're in right now, in 3 months, there's going to be boatloads of space available because a bunch of companies go broke. There's going to be a bunch of folks looking for something to do. And I think there's going to be, maybe I'm wrong, but I think there's an optimism that will come 1, 2, 4, 6 months from now. Like we had that rally after 9/11 where there was an idea that we're going to help other Americans. So let's just say you were starting something new, some little business venture you always wanted to do. I think you're going to get greater support, or at least a willingness from some to help coming out of this, because they know what we went through.
That's true. You know, this is, as long as I've been in business, this is the third major downturn. Besides 9/11, there was the year comfortably known as 2008, when my two biggest clients at the time were Countrywide Finance. and who was the other monkeys that went down? Anyhow, you know, you got to prepare. And now you're 60 years old, you're out of work because of this. And like you said, they're going to tell you to stay home, and you're not, you know, you're not available for Social Security yet. You got to think of what you're going to do. And you're saying that if there's anything you always wanted to do, now's the time to try it.
So there's certainly less excuse if you are not being asked back to your company, or they're giving you a year of severance pay, which I see some of that happening for some of these organizations. Then you say, all right, I got a year to figure this out. You know, I didn't have a severance. I didn't have a golden handcuff or golden parachute, or whatever they called the damn thing.
Golden shower, even.
You golden shower, whatever they called the damn thing. I didn't have it. So I started on my own. And I got to tell you that, as you know, you make these decisions, sitting around and talking about doesn't get it done. It always takes longer to actually ramp up. But if you keep thinking that you're going to just plan it and plan it and plan it, then you never do it. So I think the big issue is you got to get going on it. You will perfect it as you get rolling, or maybe you'll never perfect it, but you'll get better at it. It took me several years to get myself retooled. And then there's the psychological damage when the longer you twist in the wind, the more you're like starting to doubt yourself. I mean, like your thing I saw on LinkedIn, you said, I'm going to start offering myself as a Zoom meeting facilitator and a Zoom wrap-up guy. I think I shared it, but I for sure liked it. And I think the time to start that would have been 6 months ago, Dale, but you know, you didn't. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Just go ahead and move forward. Hey, Carolyn came back. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, sorry guys. It's
and all the listeners are going, she was gone.
I was so intently listening. You just didn't see me. I was so intently listening. I've been here the whole time.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, like, our business is gone, the speaking business for now. So I've always wanted to be a rodeo clown. And hopefully, you know, I'm not too old for that. You know, I'm going to be the first rodeo clown with a walker. And I think that should be unique.
All right. Well, let's be honest. There's that thing that you and I both know, Dale, because we've been on the corporate circuit, meaning doing comedic or some type of presentation at a corporate meeting. And you and I both have what we should sell as a cynical side, which means we're willing to call bullshit when it needs to be called. We've heard the motivational bozos get up there and say, gosh, you can do anything you put your mind to. All right, I'm a 50-year-old man. I'm 6'1". My knees are pretty well banged up, and I almost need a new hip. I'm not going to probably make it as a center in the National Basketball Association. No matter how much I put my mind to it, I'm not going to be playing defensive end for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's a bunch of nonsense. You can't do anything you want to do. You can do a lot of things. It's mostly, I think, as I have seen in my 26 years of running my own thing, it comes down to take the one thing you're pretty good at and two things you're pretty good at and package them all together and then work like hell at it. There's not there's not a lot of magic to it, really. It's you're a funny guy. You've got a fast wit. You said, hey, here's three things I'm really good at. And boom, you package them together. Whether you're 50, 40, 25, 65 years old, it's the same story.
And it should be, you know, three saleable things, you know.
Because I'm pretty good at naps.
Yeah.
I can like my nap part of naps. Not a lot of people are going to pay Tim for napping. There's
and not a lot of people are going to pay me for cooking. We established that earlier. That is not a career. I mean, I can turn on the oven, but not a bar that's high enough to.
You know, here's another thing, and this is probably interesting that a 50-year-old would be giving advice to people that are a generation ahead of him. But this is a real true thing. You know, there's these folks that say things like, "Well, y'all just do what you love, and then you'll never work a day in your life." Dale's funny. Damien was funny. I didn't do this because I thought, oh, I just love nothing more than getting on a plane and going and making people laugh. No, I did it as a business. I was good at it and I perfected it. He and I both went and took classes at Second City and did all that. But it wasn't because I just was going to find the thing that you love and you'll never work a day in your life. So the people listening to this, if they got to start life number two in retirement or forced retirement because of the coronavirus economic shutdown, whatever, it doesn't need to be something you love. It's a few things you're good at packaged together. A few things that you and are, as Dale said, saleable. Just like, and I even talk about this in my book.
Hold that book up. What's the name of that book?
Do Business Better. It's written for people that are going to start their own business or run their own business. Do Business Better. And just like you said, Dale, about saleable. My Bill Clinton show started to take off like in 1995 or six, let's say. And I was doing really well. Before the internet, people would still find me. And back in the old days, I used a telephone and a fax machine. A guy called me up and said, I want to be like you. I'm also in the political impersonation racket. And I said, oh, he says, I see you're killing. I said, yeah, things are starting to really pop for me. I'm getting some TV. I'm getting gigs. He said, well, I want to learn from you. I said, well, what do you do? And he says, well, I'm a Calvin Coolidge impersonator. And remember how I just said, to Dale's point, it has to be a saleable. This was the year 1995 or 96. Cool Cal hadn't been in office since the 20s, and nobody knew who he was then.
But his underwear was great.
Well, and if anybody remembers that, so there's a problem, right?
I do a great Millard Fillmore impression, you know, but that's never very saleable.
My Betsy Ross rocks.
Anyhow, we have come to the conclusion of our show. All good things must come to an end, you know, and hopefully, and not for any of us listening to another day above ground, because we're not looking to the end yet. But we got to thank Damien Mason. Thank you so much. If people wanted to get together with you, if they wanted to hire you, if they wanted to buy your book even, where would they go?
DamienMason.com. It's Damien with an I-A-N, D-A-M-I-A-N, DamienMason.com. They can find all my social media, all my products, books, stuff there, videos. And if you really get creative, once you go there, you can find the YouTube link and you can find old Bill Clinton footage. I don't really do the Bill Clinton show much anymore, but hey, here's a little inspiration for your baby boomer audience that is celebrating another day above ground. There is this chance that if you live long enough, the demand will come back for things, you know. There was people that were programming in COBOL. And all of a sudden, I found out that, like, unemployment offices needed people that knew how to use COBOL. It's like, what? A computer language from the 1980s? Sometimes if you just live long enough, you get back into demand because you're somehow, you know, it's trendy or cool or they have no choice. I've got a Bill Clinton gig booked for October because it's an election year. This event is happening in D.C. And they said, we think we should do something with D.C., but we sure as heck don't want anything that references current D.C. because it's so divisive and so like this. So I got called up and said, I don't even do it anymore. I said, I don't even have an act. They said, well, can you give us 20 minutes? So everybody that's celebrating another day above ground, listen, folks, if you just live long enough, you'll be back in demand potentially.
Cool. I'm glad I did not get rid of my neighbor jackets. That's great.
I was just going to say, it's why you should never clean out your closet. It will come back.
Benny, thank you very much. And I didn't mention this in the show, but Tim is also from Indiana. You're both Hoosiers at heart.
Hi, Tim. And, you know what? We don't have a special handshake or anything, so I'll just say hi, Tim.
Especially now.
Any last words, Tim?
Yeah, you want more information on me, just go to timslegel.com.
Carolyn.
You can find me at carolynstrauss.com.
And just keeping up with the rest of the kids, you can go to daleirvin.com. And once you're there, you can sign up for free for the Friday Funnies, a weekly video recap of the news. Until then, please share this with your baby boomer friends or all of your friends because, you know, if nothing else, you got time to listen right now. So go to our website, anotherdayaboveground.com, leave us a message, and we will see you next week.
And that's it for Another Day Above Ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.